This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
All right, Michael, top stories of the day here on the whole show. Rick Adelman, a Basketball Hall of Fame inductee who played for seven NBA seasons before becoming one of the game's all-time winningest coaches, has died. Also, Rick Adelman was the father of David Adelman, the head coach of the Denver Nuggets, died at 79. Cause of death was not immediately announced. He's one of the great, great coaches, one of the great figures, or he was one of the great figures in the NBA. He won 1,042 games as an NBA coach. 10th most in league history. Only four other coaches, Pat Riley, Greg Popovich, Jerry Sloan, and George Karl. Like, those are all big-time names. Only those four coached more games and had a better winning percentage than Adelman, who took the Portland Trail Blazers to the NBA Finals twice, was also the head coach in Sacramento, Houston, Minnesota, and Golden State. A statement read from the Coaches Association, which honored Adelman with its Chuck Daly Lifetime Achievement Award in 2023, said, quote, "Adelman will be remembered not only as a coach and a player, but also as a mentor to so many in the basketball community. Rick Adelman's NBA coaching career has been highlighted by innovation, integrity, and excellence," added Indiana coach Rick Carlisle. Now, that's a big loss. He was, like I said, man, he was one of the greats that you probably don't talk about as much, but definitely one of the greats.
Rick Adelman. He didn't have a three-peat.
What?
He didn't have a three-peat.
He didn't have a three-peat?
Yeah, Pat Riley did.
Okay. Okay. Moving on from that somehow, we will try. Eagles agree to trade A.J. Brown to the Patriots for two draft picks. The worst-kept secret in all of sports. We all kind of assumed A.J. Brown was going to the Patriots. That kind of comes back to the, I know, and people don't want to admit it, but the Diana Russini, you know, tip that maybe she knew he was going to go to the Patriots. How did she gather that information? I guess we're kind of moving on from that. Probably a good idea. But the Eagles agreed Monday to trade star wide receiver A.J. Brown to the Patriots for a first-round draft pick in 2028, and a 2027 fifth-round pick. Well, this will reunite A.J. Brown with Coach Mike Vrabel, who played with him in Tennessee, and certainly makes the Patriots a little more difficult, too. And A.J. Brown, phenomenal player. We talked about A.J. Brown and what that would look like with him playing for the Denver Broncos. Of course, I like the Waddle situation more. For Denver, A.J. Brown, again, dude, excellent wide receiver, Michael. But kind of has that tendency, as some wide receivers do, that when things get a little chaotic and frustrating, you know, maybe he's on the sidelines reading a book or something.
I don't care what he does on the sidelines, just, you know, help him win.
I think I care. I mean, I want you present. I don't think I want you reading Moby Dick on the sidelines.
Maybe that helps calm him down.
Well, that's what he said. And I guess who am I to tell somebody to go away from what calms you down? If reading books will calm you down. Maybe we let him, you know, play chess or something, or smoke a cigarette. You know, just play some video games on the sidelines too, if it helps you calm down.
I mean, yeah, absolutely.
Play solitaire.
As long as it's not hurting anyone else.
Yeah, as long as it's not going to force us to ultimately want to make a decision to trade you or anything, because we don't like what you're bringing to the locker room.
Yeah, if you're hurting the locker room, that's a problem. The sidelines hurts the locker room.
Then everyone's going to have their thing. Then everyone, that calms him down? Well, I want to play whatever it is you play, Dungeons and Snickers or whatever it is.
I play chess.
Yeah, exactly. So now everybody's just over there doing their own thing on the sidelines. Yeah, no, sure, let him read a book. Let Billy Bob watch a movie. You know, let the other guy read Mad Magazine. And then this guy over here, they're playing Tetris. Yeah, let's just make the sidelines about you and your and what you seek for your entertainment. Yeah, seriously, Mike, the more I think about this, you are so wrong on that. Because if you allow one guy to do that, then you have to allow everybody to do their thing. Whatever it is that relaxes them. I like to nap. Why is he allowed to read a book? I like to nap. Can I take a nap? That calms me down.
You can.
So
but
I can
someone's
sleep.
Gonna have to wake you up when you're on offense.
Oh, so now someone else has to be responsible for me to wake me up and snap me out of reading my book.
Well, no. You're gonna have someone probably will, but if it relaxes you and you're playing well, if Bo Nix wants to go to the sideline and stare off into space or read a book or play video games or
really?
You know, whatever.
Let him
do that.
All right, so we got to have two guys with Bo because he wants to put the TV up and play video games over there. He wants to play Red Dead Redemption on the sidelines.
If it's helping him play better.
Oh, my gosh. You're so wrong on this. Yeah, let's just – this is our society, isn't it? Everyone just – you do you. It's about you, not the team. You need to do what relaxes you. Like right now, Michael, I like to play video games and have a couple of cold ones or watch games. Can I do that right now? Because it relaxes me.
I don't care if you have a beer in your hand right now.
Yeah, can I watch a movie? Can I put a movie on? I care. My listeners care. My boss cares. The advertisers of this show care. If they tune in and hear me, you know, whatever. I don't care about – I don't know about Chris McFarland. I don't know about the Rockies. I'm too busy because I need to be relaxed by watching Everybody Loves Raymond here. I can't be bothered. And I don't like it. I don't like the reading the books thing. I've decided against it.
Now I'm for it even more.
So you want everybody. So they're clocked in for work. And unlike every other human that's doing work, they get to have whatever makes it easier for you, buddy. You need to relax and it calms you down. Sit over there, read a book, and you can play checkers. And you guys are over there playing, it looks like Texas Hold'em. You're really into that game. Man, it looks like you're winning. Great. Oh, by the way, pal, sorry to interrupt, but we need you out there.
No,
I don't like the book thing.
Most of the time, it's not going to help people out. If someone wants to do something on the sideline and they're screwing around and they're not playing well, then they lose that privilege. But if you're playing well, let them do whatever.
Mm-mm. That's a slippery slope because then everybody gets their thing.
Yeah, and then once people start playing terribly, you say, okay, well, you've lost the privilege to not watch the game.
I am not hiring you as a coach of any team that I purchase in the future if you're going to allow that kind of behavior. Colahoma says, if you let Michael read a book during the show, would it calm him down? I don't. Can you? Do you? Can you? Do you?
I could probably bring in a book.
Well, Caddy Swami, what an incredibly dumb take by him. Has Michael ever competed in anything? Yeah, like, dude, I played high school sports. I can't imagine being on the sidelines reading a book. And I'm not A.J. Brown. I get that. But no.
Look, if I went to the sidelines and I was reading a book, I would still play terribly. So, like, just if it's not hurting the locker room, if it's not hurting the game.
I need about 14 shots of Jack Daniels. And I'll get you 4 touchdowns today.
There have been people who have played drunk before. Probably people who have played high.
I would like a slip and slide. That calms me down. I like to just put on a bathing suit and go down a slip and slide, and then I'll put my stuff back on. Can I do that?
Well, first of all, there's no room for a slip and slide.
Well, behind the bench.
No, some stadiums just don't have the room.
Can I go to the locker room and put one up? Because that relaxes me.
I mean,
you're letting him read.
As soon as there's an interception, you're going to have to run all the way back.
Okay, well, you're letting me do that. You're letting him read, so I'll do that. I like to drive a golf cart around. Can I do that?
You're not able to drive a golf cart around on the field.
Can I put? I like to rollerblade. Can I rollerblade a little bit?
See, now you're just coming up with outlandish stuff.
That's
outlandish
how it starts.
Stuff isn't going to help.
That's how it starts, Michael.
Something that's just a little bit like a book or a game of chess or whatever.
Focus on the game. You should be studying what just happened on your most previous offensive possession. You should be sitting down with your quarterback and the rest of your receivers talking about the most recent possession instead of reading a book and isolating yourself from the rest of the team. Maybe that's how it started for the Philadelphia Eagles and A.J. Brown, and that's why he can't seem to settle down anymore.
And that's where I say if it's affecting the locker room, you can't do it.
You don't think it did? You don't think some people were like, dude, we got this guy over here reading a book, and I'm sitting over here with Jalen Hurts going over what happened on this last possession, and he's over there and can't be bothered.
He's over there reading a book, but boy, he has 16 catches and 156 yards.
And turned into be kind of a pickle for his most previous team. So, 16 minutes after the hour, Michael's going to read a book during the break because he's allowed to do it just during the break, but not actually during the show.
I've been
coming up
book
next. Spencer, you can't read. Everybody knows that. Spencer Smith going to join us next from DNVR Rockies. They get it done last night. Win number 23 for Colorado. How did it happen? Spencer's thoughts on some of these dramatic wins in the last week for the Rockies. Spencer Smith coming up next.
What is the Dirty 30?
Give me a head with hair. Long, beautiful hair.
The boys aren't shaving until the Rockies win 30. Hear Rockies games and talk on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Brock Wisney, former UNC men's basketball player, and you're listening to The Whole Show on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Twenty minutes after the hour, Spencer, we are getting closer, my friend. Spencer Smith, DNVR Rockies, and
the call drop.
Mike, you had him. I heard you saying something back there to him, and you don't have him. Where'd he go? How did the call drop? Do you think he's like in a bad service area? I don't blame you necessarily. I need all the facts before I'm willing to go there. But we're excited to talk to Spencer as he talks Rockies with us every Tuesday. And, hey, I thought they'd win this game. I did. Tanner Schwint on the Good Morning NoCo yesterday is like, no way the Rockies are winning this game. But it works. And, hey, Spencer throws out the reverse jinx once in a while. Spencer Smith, DNVR Rockies. My man, 7 more wins. Until I'm shaving the face. It's getting itchy. The hair is doing its own thing. I'm ready for 7 more dubs, Spencer.
Dude, we are getting dangerously close. It's like it's going to get itchier and the hair is going to feel way worse the closer and closer we get until they get that 30th win.
Oh, yeah. Once we were like at 28 last year, whatever the number was that we did, it was like unbearable. It was like every single game was just, come on, let's get there. But at least, you know, it's early. I mean, it's June 2nd, and we've got 7 more to go.
I was going to say, it's not going to be August this year, brother. This is a huge win.
Oh, no. Okay, so let's go back to even like Friday night, you know, crazy win. It was so cool seeing Hunter Goodman come up big, Tovar come up big, and then last night you see Goodman do it again. In a special moment, and it was just kind of a group effort in that ninth inning, and you see Jake McCarthy do it, and the Rockies get this win. I don't know what kind of season it's going to be. I got to tell you, it's just fun to see this team have fun and to occasionally expect fireworks from this team.
Exactly, and like I said on our show Friday last week before this Giants series started, is yes, you're going to get pummeled by teams like the Braves, the Dodgers, the Rays, the Yankees, when you play them, at the class of the MLB. But these series against teams like the Giants, who are obviously struggling, the Los Angeles Angels, who are tied now with you with the Rockies for the worst record in the league, these are the series that you have to show that you can at least compete with some of these teams. And you're not, you know, there's the bottom of the barrel in the MLB, and last year the Rockies were a step below that. Mm-hmm. This year they want to take the step to show that they're at least part of that bottom of the barrel. And that sounds so awful to say, but it's the reality of the situation. They're not going from a 43-win team to a wild card team. So this is a positive step in the right direction. And now you've won at least three out of these six games against the Angels and Giants, which I said they needed to go 4-2. So they just have to win one more game. And really, last night was the toughest test in Jose Soriano that they're going to face when playing the Angels. And they ended up walking, I believe, he walked like seven batters and they walked a total of nine times. So that shows you a little bit of plate discipline that they're working on. And then, of course, you know, the massive comeback. Kyle Freeland has another rough start, gives up a grand slam. His ERA is over eight right now, which is not good. You've got two starting pitchers with an ERA well above seven, which is not ideal if you know professional baseball or any type of baseball, really. And they just somehow fought back and got the big hit late from Hunter Goodman. Now that's two three-run home runs that either tie or get the game within one in the past week. And those are just the players that you love to see stepping up right now, because it's been the month of May was a joke, for lack of a better term, an 8-20 record in the month of May. They want to win about 10 games a month to get to that 62, 63 wins, maybe not lose 100 games. So they've started off June on the right foot, and I hope they put May in the rearview mirror and maybe even get a sweep of these Angels.
Yeah, that would be huge. I'd be pumped. Spencer, talk to me about Kyle Freeland, man. I'm at the beginning of the season, you know, we're sitting here picking out our guys that we think are going to have really good seasons, or at least positive seasons, and I picked a guy I was excited to see in Rumfield, but I thought, no, Kyle Freeland is going to, he's going to turn it around, and this is going to be the year. And I know that that's probably what ownership and the front office believes, too. He's a Colorado guy, and it's just, there's so much magic to what he could be. But will he ever be that guy?
Not again, I don't think. And I think the very interesting part about Kyle Freeland is if you look at the Rockies' rotation before this past week, because Ryan Feltner is back now off the injured list. He had a great quality start this past weekend, which was awesome to see, and you hope that he can stay healthy and pitch the rest of the year, because he could be a future piece on this team. But I think the interesting part about Kyle Freeland is when you looked at the rotation kind of starting the year, you had a bunch of vets, right? You had Kyle Freeland, you had Jose Quintana, you had Tomoyuki Shigano, and you had Michael Lorenzen, and then your fifth starter was probably Chase Dolander for a while. And then there was, you know, they're moving guys up and down and openers and all that stuff. But your main four starters are all vets, right? 30 plus years old, been in the league a long time. And for Kyle, he's the only one that's been around Coors Field and been part of good teams at Coors Field, been part of bad teams at Coors Field, had success at Coors Field, and had, obviously, as every single pitcher does, some really bad starts at Coors Field. And so I think with Kyle, this new pitching regime and the new philosophies that they're putting into place are tougher for him to pick up right now, because he has pitched successfully at Coors Field. I mean, 10 years ago now, or 9 years ago, he almost threw a no-hitter. He was one out away from a no-hitter at Coors Field. So he knows what success at Coors Field looks like, and he's trying to help these other starters, and really all of them are struggling other than Tomo Shigano. But I think Kyle Freeland's in a weird mix of they're trying to teach an old dog new tricks, and it's not really working out, especially for Kyle, who's been a Rocky his entire career.
Now, we've seen the Rockies, certainly, you know, this year above all, you know, they're mixing and matching a little bit with pitchers, and you know, you're seeing, look at Senzatella and what he's asked to do now. Do you see Freeland stepping into any type of that role in the immediate future, the near future, where maybe, again, maybe you're not asking him to start. Maybe he's like a semi-starter. You do kind of what you did with Chase Dolander. Is there any kind of thought there in your mind where you kind of move him around and just see if maybe something else might work better other than being the quote-unquote? Because, again, starting pitching, bullpen, closer, I don't even know what that means for the Rockies anymore. But do you see them doing anything as crazy as that, as moving him around?
Well, you know, the funny thing is nobody knows what starters, bullpen, or closers, or setup guys means for the Rockies. Mm-hmm. So you're not alone in that. Even us being around the team, we're like, we have no clue who they're going to go to, why they're going to go to them. A lot of it's matchup focused, but still seems rather confusing day to day. But I think the interesting part about where we're at this season is we've likely seen Jose Quintana's last start of the year. He was put on the 60-day IL this past week. We will not see him start again. Of course, Chase Dolander is hurt, and we don't know when we'll see him again. So right now you're kind of stuck in a situation where Kyle Freeland is going to probably have to continue to start, and you're going to have to continue to throw him out there. And same with Michael Lorenzen. I mean, if you look at any major league front office or roster and you say, I have two starting pitchers that are pitching every 5 days with a 7-plus ERA, you have to wonder what is going on there. But right now, with the situation the Rockies are in, they don't really have much of a choice. I do see that once some guys start coming back, I think Kyle Freeland could go to the bullpen and maybe be that, you know, games out of hand, comes in, pitches four, can give you some length out of that bullpen. But the interesting part about where this season's gone too is Antonio Senzatella was originally slated for that long relief guy, the guy that came in, cleaned up some messes or just ate a lot of innings. And then he became this all-star level pitcher. And so now he's moved his role to being this closer slash setup man, that guy that can go a couple innings, can go the seventh and the eighth, can go the eighth and the ninth, or come in the middle of the eighth and finish the game like we saw last night. And so it's interesting because if Antonio Senzatella didn't have this breakout, I think Senzatella would have been a starter by now in the rotation. They wouldn't have necessarily brought Tanner Gordon up. They would have just stuck with who was on the major league roster and said, all right, Senzatella, you're going to get some starts. But the fact that he's kind of pitched his way into a positive role, which is awesome to see because most of the Rockies are going the other way, it's put the Rockies in a weird situation where they kind of have to roll with these guys with seven ERAs because, as I've said on this show, my show, and front office has told us multiple times, there's not really guys in AAA that are ready to go and or they believe are ready to go, and they don't want to bring up a couple of guys and crush their confidence. They'd rather crush the confidence or whatever confidence Michael Lorenzen has and, you know, I guess Kyle Freeland at this point has. Those guys know they've had long careers. They've had pretty successful careers. You don't pitch in the major leagues for 10-plus years without being pretty successful. But they're more worried about ruining some of the arms that they could potentially bring up rather than just kind of throwing these guys out there and hoping that they can give you. I mean, ironically, Kyle giving you 5 2/3 last night, he gave up five runs. One swing of the bat with a grand slam and four runs, of course, you can't just take that away. But he was really actually all right in the other 4 1/2 or 4 2/3 innings, which the Rockies starters have struggled to go more than four innings. And that just puts your entire team at behind the eight ball, especially when it's like the first game of a series and you have to use the bullpen in all weird sorts of ways. And then you get to the last game and you almost have to throw the game if your starting pitcher doesn't do well because you're pitching the bottom of the barrel guys that you know are going to give up multiple runs. So I do see Kyle Freeland going to the bullpen at some point if guys continue to get healthy, but that would mean Chase Dolander's back on the major league roster and starting every day. And then Ryan Feltner stays healthy. Tomo Sugano continues the run he's on. So there are a lot of pieces would have to fall into place, but it really does feel like malpractice to have two starters that you know are going to pitch every 5 days with a 7 ERA.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they play that, how Kyle Freeland responds to that as well. Spencer Smith joining us, DNVR Rockies. Here we are talking about the negative, but it's a Rockies win. They win 9-8, and what an exciting finish. And again, Hunter Goodman, you and I were talking about that. Like, what is with this? We see a guy storm onto the scene early, and they're really exciting, and then they just kind of fizzle. Well, you're seeing Hunter Claus. I mean, Tovar wasn't great a couple of games, but he was on a nice stretch for a while. Of course, that awesome walk-off home run he had against San Francisco on Friday night. You're starting to see the guys that we thought would step up in big ways, and Hunter Goodman's one of those dudes.
Yeah, it's been a very positive last couple of weeks especially for Ezekiel Tovar and then Hunter Goodman as well. Hunter Goodman is very hit or miss right now in terms of he's either hitting a home run or he's striking out three or four times. But the positive and the silver lining in that is that he is hitting those home runs. And when you have a guy that you can leave the yard at any at bat, you're going to live with a couple of strikeouts here and there and striking out a little more than league average like Hunter does. So it's the problem is when you got guys that do that and then never get impactful hits. And we're talking about Rockies winning 3 out of 4 here in the last four games. Obviously, Sunday's game was an embarrassment. They got blown out. But three out of four wins, and the offense has looked pretty competent the last couple of games. And I think that's being driven by guys like Ezekiel Tovar doing what we had hoped they would do all season long. And really, you know, there's no excuses here. Obviously, it's Major League Baseball and every team's dealing with them, but the Rockies got clobbered with the injury bug in May. Mickey Moniak, who was your home run leader at the time, goes down. Your starting center fielder, Brenton Doyle, is not on the roster. Then there's the quote-unquote injury to Jordan Beck. So you're basically your three starting outfielders that you kind of thought would play most of the games this season in March are not on the active roster right now and not playing baseball games for you, which is putting more Tyler Freeman in the lineup, who's just a hit machine. That guy gets a hit every single night, it seems like. And then you've got Troy Johnston, who's hitting a league-best 360 against right-handed pitching. So, I mean, this guy's just tearing up right-handed pitching. So you've got some bright spots in there. Kyle Karros has looked better over the last couple of weeks, which he's kind of teetering on the edge of, is he going to be a major leaguer? Is he going to get sent back down? And then you've got the same thing with Jake McCarthy, who I'll be the first to admit, I was not that excited about Jake McCarthy. The way he started out the year, I was like, why is this guy hitting leadoff? What is he doing? And now hits a home run last night. He's shown us a little bit of power. He pushes the envelope every time he gets a base hit. Last night, a simple hit to right field, and he all of a sudden look up and he's on second base. So there are some positives to take out of this team, in spite of the fact that the starting pitching has largely been really bad.
Well, and you mentioned Kyle Karros, man. If he has a hype man every night like Troy Johnston is to pretty much everybody, then he might just turn everything around and have one of those great seasons. That's the stuff I'm talking about, Spencer. Like, I love that stuff. They're still near at the bottom of the barrel in all this, but they're having fun when they are winning games, especially when they win epic games. And that gives me hope for the future. Maybe not the immediate future, maybe just for the dirty 30, but it does give me hope for the future.
It does, man. And the confidence that, you know, I keep telling myself and telling everybody, we're trying not to grade this season on wins and losses, right? A 63-99 record would be awesome, but we're trying not to grade this season on wins and losses. And every time you see them win a game, especially the way they've won the game on Friday night, the way they came back and won last night and then hold on, the excitement and the confidence that breeds from winning baseball games is infectious, and it's going to help these guys, not only the team, obviously you're winning baseball games, which helps the overall record, but helps each guy's confidence to an immense amount. Like when they get in a spot, and last year it was like, okay, anything that went wrong, they were like, we're losing this game. We can't get out of this. This year they've shown, hey, we can be down 6-2, 6-3. And we can come back and win a game late and really, you know, lean on our offense, even though our starting pitching wasn't great, and find ways to win these high-scoring games. And then you have good nights where Ryan Feltner starts, like this past weekend, and he goes six innings and gives up one run, and you win a lower-scoring game where you don't need your offense as much. So it's been a really quality three wins in four games, and I think that's shown us that, yes, they're still bottom of the barrel, but last year they weren't even in the barrel. This year they're in the barrel. They're an MLB team. They're, you know, respected by some of their opponents, maybe, but they should be. And they're showing that they should be when they're playing these teams that are kind of on their tier, on their level, that they can beat these teams. They can win series and hopefully turn it around in terms of how bad May was. Let's, you know, hopefully get to 11 or 12 wins in June and kind of continue on that pace the rest of the season.
Spencer Smith, great stuff from you, man. Always look forward to these chats. And let's see a sweep here. Let's see a sweep here of the Angels. How about that? That would make us feel really good about our situation.
Yes, that would be awesome. We are going to see the Brewers and the Cubs in town here in Denver the next this weekend and then early next week. So that should be fun. I tell you what, I don't know if you've seen a ton of this Jacob Mizorowski kid, but the Rockies may strike out 15 times on Friday night, but it will be fun to watch because this guy's ridiculous. He's throwing 103, yeah. 104. I mean, just absolute lasers. So it should be fun to watch. But yeah, they really do need to, for your beard and hair's sake, a sweep would be massive playing against the Angels and winning this series, because Brewers coming into town doesn't look great. And
no.
The Cubs are so hot and cold. We don't know what's going to happen there. But I do think that just the confidence from at least win this series, right? Win back-to-back series against the Angels and the Giants. and maybe get the sweep. If you go 5-1 in the six-game span, I think there's a lot to look forward to, especially considering they're getting some key guys off the injured list, hopefully, in the next couple of weeks.
And all the naysayers that wanted to see this thing go all the way to August again, you know, we might end this thing early. It's going to be great. It was kind of like, you know, the Nuggets and Avalanche season. It was all the hype and all the fun, and then it just, bam, it's over. That's how this thing could end. That's what I'm hoping for anyway.
Yes, maybe a nice little 2 or 3 game win streak in a row to go from 28 to 30 in a couple of days and just be done.
Just be done.
Head to that barbershop.
Let's get done, man. Spencer, great work as always, man. I love your stuff, and I'm glad we got this connection done because we really enjoy having you on the program, my friend.
I appreciate it, Brady. And quick plug, we have a show from a secret location at Coors Field coming next Tuesday, which will be live on our YouTube at 12 p.m. Mountain Time. We should have some players joining us on that show, and we've got a really cool location in Coors Field that's brand new this year to kind of show off and do. It's an awesome idea by the Rockies and
oh,
great
yeah.
execution.
That's awesome.
So we're going to be doing a live show from there next Tuesday.
I love it, man. Well, I'll be looking forward to tuning in. It's going to be great.
Which actually means, now that I think about it, we got to change our time and maybe go a little bit later.
We'll figure something out, my friend. Easy to do that, especially for something like this. So you just let me know.
Awesome. I appreciate it, Brady. Thanks so much.
All right, man. Spencer Smith, DNVR Rockies. Excellent stuff from him today, man. You know, we got a little bit of the good, the bad, the ugly on the Rockies from him. Certainly the Freeland stuff. I hear Tanner and Derbs, and they're just completely out on Freeland. And sounds like Spencer's kind of on that. He's towing that line. He can't really commit one way or the other.
Well, yeah. Well, he's going to be my favorite Rocky now.
Freeland?
Yes.
You're just going to go against what I said because you want to read books like A.J. Brown? Is that why?
Look, it's not my fault that A.J. Brown and I are very smart.
A.J. Brown, maybe. That's what we know. A.J. Brown, maybe. 39 minutes after they are. Michael. Courtesy of Interior Sprinkler Systems, we are giving Greeley Stampede tickets away like crazy. And I've got it's a voucher, but it's the same thing as a ticket. It's for 2 grandstand tickets to any of your 2026 options for the PRCA Rodeo, excluding finals, but this is good for any other night. Any other rodeo night, you can go take this voucher and pick a night excluding the finals, PRCA Rodeo at the Greeley Stampede. Thanks to Interior Sprinkler Systems. Find them online at interiorsprinklers.com. Great sponsor of this show. And now our official Greeley Stampede ticket sponsor. And we're going to give these away right now. Let's go caller number what, Michael? How high can you count?
5.
That a kid. Good job, buddy. Caller number 5 on the first. We did caller number 5 already. Come on.
Number 5 is live.
Do something more creative. Give me something. What's more creative than 5?
I like short circuits, so number 5.
Give me something better than 5.
5.2.
Fine. Caller number 5. 970-353-1310. And if you're caller number 5, you're going to be getting a voucher. It's basically 2 grandstand tickets to any 2026 PRCA rodeo event, excluding finals. 970-353-1310. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when 4 walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
This is Miles McClarty, safety for the UNC Bears, and you're listening to The Whole Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Mike, not a good sign for the Colorado State Rams on the football side of things. As far as projections go, Bill Conley with ESPN, very good at what he does. And putting, if there was a guy to try, listen, I think most of the time, if you're telling me, like, oh man, June 2nd, oh, CSU, I don't think they're going to do well. CU, oh, the Bears, good or bad. Because I just, I can tell you a lot about one team. I've learned a lot about UNC with Ed Lamb on the podcast every day, but like for CSU, there's a lot of new dudes, man. There's a lot of new faces for Colorado State. And maybe that's why Bill Conley has them finishing, projected to finish last in the Pac-12. Last. He's got, okay, do you know the teams, Mike? I'm going to give you the teams. No particular.
Washington State.
Yeah, good. Good.
Oregon State.
Bam. You got two, six more.
CSU.
Bam. There's three.
And the rest are here on Pac-12 Isle.
They're all states. They're all state at the end of their name. So come on. Former Mountain West teams. You can do this.
Fresno State.
Yes.
Boise State.
Bam. Kind of where you were from.
Wyoming Tech State.
No. Where you're from. You grew up in.
I already said Washington State.
No. Where you were born.
Oh. Washington.
Oh, I thought you were. Didn't you
born in Washington?
Didn't you live in California at one point?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you lived there at one point.
San Diego State.
Yeah. There you go.
I remember watching a few San Diego State games and loving their uniforms.
Mormon.
Well, yeah, BYU, but
no.
They're not BYU State.
Who's the other one? There's
Utah State.
Yeah. There you go. And then from the the Sun Belt Conference, South, all my exes.
Oh, Texas State.
There you go.
Texas State, I think, was a good pickup.
Yeah, I actually do too, and so does Bill Conley. He thinks they're going to finish in the middle of the road. Take a guess. Who's finishing, or you already know who's finishing last, according to Bill Conley, to 2026 projections based off of his whole, like, amazing plan, his SB plus rate, all of that, which it's an advanced analytic rating system for college football. He created it. It's crazy how he does this, and it's not just based on like strength of schedule and all that. It's actually really fascinating. Who's finishing second to last?
Utah State.
You got it. Third from last.
Fresno State.
No.
San Diego State.
Nope. One of the
co-founders. Is it Washington State or Oregon State?
Oregon State. And then fourth from last, you already said it. You said it's a good pickup. Texas State.
Texas State, yeah.
You got finishing fourth overall is your neck of the woods.
Washington State.
And third?
I forgot who else is in the conference.
Starts with an F.
Fresno State.
And number two? Where you used to live?
Washington State.
San Diego State.
No, I didn't live in Spokane.
Oh, okay.
I was born in Seattle.
But didn't you live in San Diego at one point?
Actually, I don't think Washington State is in Pullman.
Pullman.
That's on the
Washington
other
State's
side.
In Pullman, yeah. Man, this is...
It's on the ag
Boise
side
State's
of the state.
Projected to finish number one. It's what you need to know. That's what we were trying to get to. And you got there. You got there.
Everyone knows Boise's going to be number one because this is going to be the worst conference.
This is all they said about... The worst conference overall, like of the G6 or whatever it is?
Yeah. I'm saying that except for Boise.
You think the Pac-12 is going to be worse? You are out of your mind.
I am out of my mind. I'm just trying to get a rise out of you.
Oh, I don't really care. I mean, I'm rooting for CSU, but I don't really care. The only thing he really gives us confidence in with CSU, this is what he says. Even CSU has a little bit of hope if the new coach brings tons of his former players with him, formula works out. Could.
He brought some.
Haas Haney. Make him the starting quarterback. I've only seen him like for 5 seconds at one spring practice. But yes, Haas Haney's the man. 12:50 the time. We'll talk more CSU. We got more plans. We got another hour left, I think. Right? We'll be right back.
Win tickets to the Greeley Stampede right here thanks to Interior Sprinkler Systems. Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Kaz, voice of the Denver Nuggets. Good to be back on KFKA, baby.
All right, we blew the clock there. Clip of the day coming up next. More on Colorado State. And did the Broncos do enough to make themselves a potential contender? Clip of the day coming up next.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.